Last week, you all remember the snow? Yeah, it was a lot of snow last weekend. We were not able to have service last weekend. Now, last weekend, I was actually out of town. Me and my family, we went to Grand Junction to see Holly and spend some time with her. And actually, Dawn was kind enough to teach for me. And, of course, he didn't get a chance to do that. And since, because of all that weather and a couple other things, I ended up not making it back to town here till Thursday night. Dawn was very kind to agree and come and share what the Lord had laid on his heart last week tonight. And so, Dawn, can I pray? Can I pray for you? Yeah. Father, as Dawn comes tonight, Lord, to share what you've put on his heart from your word, Lord, I ask that you'd bless him. I pray that you'd anoint him. Father, I know it's Don's heart that he decrease and you increase. So, Father, I pray that you would accomplish that in our hearts. May we see your face clearly. May we come to understand you more clearly tonight through your word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing it is to us. And I thank you in advance for the work that you're going to do through it, because you have promised that your word does not return void. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A blatant attempt on my life.
How you doing tonight?
I'm a little taller. So it seems like everybody's in the back. It must be because you heard I was preaching, and I've had this stored up in me for a week. So you know I'm going to get excited and spit all over the front row. Oh. No, I'll try not to do that. So, you know, I learned something today I didn't know. That the economy is really good out there. I didn't know that, you know. I went to Bass Pro, and it took me 30 minutes to find a parking spot. And I'm like, what are all these people doing? They don't have no money. Where? They were everywhere. Everywhere I went today, there were so many people. So, you know, I didn't know the economy was doing well. Because either people had a lot of money to spend, or they were spending money they don't have. More likely that one, huh? Well, I have a message tonight that actually, it's a continuation of a message I preached over 2 years ago. And I'm going to have a test at the end for all. And so this is part two. So over 2 years ago, I named this message, "The Storm is Coming." Some of you might remember it. Some of you were here. How many remember that? Anybody? The rest of you were here, or you slept through it? Well, I guarantee you're not going to sleep tonight, no. So, you know, God just really spoke to me that storms keep coming. So this is a continuation, and if you want to call it part two, here comes another storm. Because I would bet, and I'm not a betting man, because I'm an ordained Southern Baptist minister and we don't bet, that almost every single person out here has probably either been through a storm recently, are still in a storm, or you know there's one coming right around the corner. And so something I want to set so we're all clear on this tonight. When I say storms of life, the Bible calls them many things. Trials, problems, affliction. But for tonight, I'm going to call them storms. I like that term because if you look at the Bible, a lot of God's people went through storms. And, you know, when I was studying for this, I noticed that literally a lot of them went through real storms. As in, like, last Saturday night. They actually went through tons of them. You could look at all the characters you can think of and just think of some from Moses, Jonah, Noah, Peter, Paul, out on the sea. And, you know, that's just a few off the top of my head. But people go through storms. And literally, and sometimes real storms. And I love the connection and the analogy of using a real storm and with life's trials, problems that I'm not going to talk about no more. I'm going to say storms from now on. But there's really a connection between the two. You know, if you ever heard a weatherman say, you know, tomorrow's partly cloudy and it looks nice, but right up here, there's a storm coming. You've heard that before, haven't you? That's the way life is. So for now, I'm going to do a little review of part one because they connect. And so for you that never heard this, it's actually recording and it's still online if you want to get it, because this is going to be a short version of that. But they really do connect, and there's some really big points I need to talk about. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew a lot tonight. So Matthew chapter 8. In John 16:33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, storms, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In Matthew 8, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, for time's sake, remember this is a review, I'm not going to read all that. I'm going to fill you in though, and I think you'll get all this. I want to set this up before we get to the storm, because this is the famous storm that Jesus calms. But right before this, in chapter 8, Jesus cleanses a leper. He healed the centurion's servant son. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then all kinds of other people that were demon-possessed. So, think about the disciples saw all that. And now, Jesus said, "Follow me." And so they get in the boat, and it says that a big storm came about. And they were scared. And Jesus was asleep. And so they went to wake him up. Now, I got to say that I don't think they said, "Jesus, can you wake up?" No, it actually says that they said, "Lord, save us!" They were scared. They were scared that they were going down. And they didn't realize who they had with them in the boat, did they? And so that's one point I want to make. And Jesus calmed the storm, and you know what they said? You know, who is this man that could even calm the storm? So remember that Jesus is with you in the storm. That's one point that I want you to remember. It's going to echo the rest of the night. Remember this, that He takes you in the storm too. He takes you in it, and then He's in it with you. And then He'll take you out of it, one way or the other. I know that a lot of people here that I know out there have been through lots of storms. I would say that so many of you that I know, and I'm not going to name everybody. I don't want to embarrass you. And for time's sake, I couldn't even count up all the storms that I know that's in this church. From Pastor Tony to George and Janine. Just so many of you that's been through storms in the last year since 2 years ago since I preached this. It's amazing how many storms we go through in life. And there's just one around the corner. That's the great news. But I got some good news, so hang on. Because I don't want you to be so, gloomy. So remember that Jesus will take us out of our storm. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, our light affliction is but for a moment. You know, that might not seem like that. When you're going through that storm, it might not seem like it's only for a moment. It might seem like it's a year. And it might be a year. It might be a couple years. There's no set time on them. They're all different. Just like the weather. You know, there's little storms. Just look at last weekend. I don't know what happened to the weather, man, but I heard we were just supposed to get a couple inches. Well, I don't know about you guys down here, but up at Ponderosa, we got over a foot. And there was like 3-foot drifts. I think they missed that one. You know? And so sometimes we miscalculate the storms in our life, too. We may not think they're going to be very big. And we think, we can handle this. I don't want you ever to be there no more. If there's one thing I want you to get tonight, is that God is there for you to go through that storm with you. Don't ever think that you don't need Him. Don't get cocky and think, I can handle this one, God. You know, you take a rest. Chill out. You need Him. You need Him. And He's always there, even when you don't think so. Because He promised us. He said He would never leave us or forsake us. That's a promise. Or abandon us. So He's always there. But sometimes, just like the apostles, we don't cry out to Him. You know, they waited till... You know, I often wonder, I don't know about you guys, but I often wonder how long it took them before they woke Jesus up. Does anybody else think like that, or is it just me? How about the other storm that's in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus is walking on the water? You can go there if you want. I'm going to be there briefly, because remember, this is still a review. And how long did He let Peter start sinking till He grabbed him? Did He let him go down till there was bubbles? You know, blah, 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 blah. I always wonder, because we know that He rescued him, but we know that Peter walked on the water. And so one of the parts from the continuation message is that when you keep your eyes on Jesus, as Peter did, he was walking on the water. It was when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink, did he not? So remember that. Remember that. Don't ever get relaxed in your storm. You just don't want to do that. You know, I actually have been through so many storms in my life, and I want you to know that I'm not a storm chaser. I got a couple of laughs. Gosh, you guys are tight with those laughs. But I was actually in Desert Storm in Somalia and Honduras and Nicaragua. And, you know, I'll never forget in Desert Storm, because of what I did, I worked with big ships. And we loaded equipment, bombs, missiles, tanks on these big ships, bullets. Everything that you can imagine that's in a war came through us. That's what I did. So, we never protected ourselves. Never. We couldn't, because we were almost like construction workers. We had to unload these ships, so we couldn't protect ourselves. So we literally grounded our gear, our weapons. And all around us we had Patriot missiles, if you remember that. People remember? Yeah. And, you know, we used to stand on the ship at night, for reals. And we would watch the Scud missile. Guess where it was coming? At us, to bomb us. And we would watch the Patriot missile knock it out of the air. Woo! I remember soldiers like, well, that's pretty cool, Sergeant. You know, fireworks, you know. And I remember one night, we started to get lackadaisical. That's the point of this little story I'm telling. And we just automatically assumed all the time that that Patriot missile was going to knock that Scud out of there. Well, guess what? One got through. And because people were lackadaisical, a lot of people were killed. And so we never want to let our guard down and think that, we can handle this. So that's one of the points. So one of the other things I want to, before I wrap up this review, is remember that Jesus will take us out of that storm one way or the other. And what I mean by that, I'll explain that later. But I want you to get this part. The aftermath of the storm could be worse than the storm. And just think of a real storm. Think of just the devastation like Katrina and things like that. Now think of your life. And I'm sure some of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. That the storm was pretty bad, but the aftermath of it was still going on. Are you with me? All right. I'm going to tell a little story that I told over 2 years ago. You know, I was so blessed that I got to literally share this message in 5 different churches. Isn't that cool? That God would use some dummy like me. But I literally shared it in 5 different churches. I shared it in Ohio at my wife's mother's church, and then they had a connecting church that they wanted me to share. I shared it here. I shared it in my old church, Monument Hill, and I shared it up at Ponderosa. Isn't that cool? God must be wanting to say something that He would take a dummy like me and share this message 5 times. So, I want to tell you this little story that I told them way back then. That was actually truly happened to me in 1 week. Some of you might remember this story. I know a lot of people that's heard this message and they never forget a part of this story. They might forget the whole thing I said, but they never forget this little story or this true story. So this happened to me. So my mother died on a Monday, and I was preparing to do her funeral in the Catholic Church, which was a big deal for me. And so it was on a Thursday. So she died on Monday. Thursday, I'm in my office, and I'm preparing my message. And the phone rang. And my church put me on speakerphone. And I knew something was up right then and there when it was the church board calling me and put me on speaker. And they said, "You know, Don, we know your mother passed away. We're so sorry. We know you're preparing, da-da-da-da-da. But we want to know if you could preach Sunday." I had this message in me that I was just waiting, because I was the youth pastor / associate pastor, and I would be what I call myself the pitch hitter sometimes when, like, Tony's gone and when our pastor was gone there, I filled in. So I was just waiting for this moment, for this message. I had never preached it before. So my mom dies. They asked me to preach Sunday, and then they told me the bad news, that they were asking the pastor to resign. And I'm not going to get into the details of that, but that upset me more than my mother passing away, because I knew she was going to die. And it really, really upset me. I couldn't even sleep for a day, and now I got to preach. And so then Saturday night, I remember, and this is the short version of this, I had a little dog. I call it a wiener dog. You know a dachshund? It was a miniature one. It wasn't even a year old yet. And my daughter was going to sing Sunday. I always like to get her to sing when I'm preaching. And she came home and she said, I called her Maggie May, was my little dog. And that dog loved me. She used to lay up here on my neck all the time. Anybody ever have a dachshund? They're the most loving, compassionate dogs, like just so. They actually seem like they act like when they know you're going through something. Because she was just so loving to me. I think she knew my mother died. I don't know how she knew that, but that's another story. So, Emily goes, "Where's Maggie May?" And I said, "I know, I hadn't seen her for a while." So listen to this. A great horned owl ate my dog Saturday night. So now I got to preach on Sunday. And I'm questioning God. I'm like, "God, now I know I got this message. I'm excited to preach this about the storms of life. But did you have to put me through all that for the message?" And I remember questioning God. And I learned so much through that. And I don't have time for that. That's another story. You could get that tape. But I did share that in that one. But I'll never forget how I started my sermon. I said that Sunday morning, "No one should lose their mother, their pastor, and their dog in the same week." You can laugh. And you shouldn't, should you? So that's the review. I told you it was a little long one, but it's going to set up the rest. So now, if you're still in Matthew, if you'd go to chapter 1, I know we went backwards. And as I said earlier, I could pick a lot of people to talk about storms of life. But I decided, because of the season, to pick Mary and Joseph. And so if you would read with me, I'm going to read starting in verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, can I just say something right here? What trust God had in Joseph and Mary. Have you ever thought about that? To carry out this plan that he had. You know, I often wonder, like, why did he do it way back then? Why couldn't he do it now? It's a good question, huh? Does anybody ever think like that? I'm the only crazy person to think. You know, I was thinking about that. Someone else is like me, huh? And I was thinking, could he find two people like that? Could he really find a woman? And no offense to any of you women out there, but that would do all this? Huh? Let's just take Joseph, for instance. So you know back then, when they were engaged, it was not quite like the way we're engaged nowadays. It was like almost being married. And I say almost. Because they could not join together, sleep with each other. But you could not get out of it without a divorce, like it just said there. Or you could bring her forward and she could be stoned. Because adultery was considered that big of a deal back then. Isn't that amazing if you just flash forward to now? And it's no big deal, you know. But back then it was a big deal. And for Joseph to take her was totally against their culture. And we know because it tells us that he was a just man and he didn't want to embarrass her. And he probably thought the only two options he had was to either get her stoned or to quietly divorce her. I don't think he ever considered a third option. I really don't. Because if he did, I don't think the angel would appear to him to tell him to marry her. I don't think that option ever occurred to him. Think about that. But see, God has a plan sometimes. And his ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes we think we have all the answers of how we're going to figure out our storm. But sometimes God has another way. And so if there's something I want you to learn in this story, I'm going to give you 3 points right now. And then I'll go back to them at the end. But 3 points I want you to see in the storms of Mary and Joseph and in yours is 3 things that we can learn to trust God. Did they not trust God? Boy, sure they did. Listen to God. So he could teach you something. He may show you something. He may direct you. And then another one is to focus not always on your storm. Sometimes we get so self-centered, we think we're the only one in the world going through a storm. But all around us, all kinds of other people are going through a storm. And one of the things I've learned through God, through all the storms I went through, that when God has me focus on some of them, other people's storms and pray for them and help them and get involved with them, my storm's not so bad. Theirs are way worse. Isn't that an amazing thing? I'm sure a lot of you learned that, haven't you? So, back to Mary and Joseph. So, that wasn't an easy thing for Joseph to do, especially back in them days. And even though an angel appeared to him, I don't think for one moment he knew what he was signing up for. Have you thought about that one? Because you know the rest of the story. Just think of the rest of the story. We're going to get to some of it. He obeyed God, and that's one of them. But he obeyed him totally blind, without knowing what was coming. And then Mary did the same. And so let's turn to Luke, and we're going to read about Mary. Did you ever notice Matthew does Joseph's kind of version, and Luke kind of does the Mary version, doesn't he? So Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Everybody there? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" I don't believe for a second now she's questioning God. She just don't understand how can this happen. But she totally believes because what she says next. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Wow. What an awesome thing to say. She didn't ask questions. She said, "Let it be." She didn't know what she was signing up for. She didn't. Do you think for one minute that she knew, as she's almost ready to be with child, she's going to have to go on a journey for 70 miles on the back of a donkey? Do you think she would have maybe said that back then? Knowing that? And then, like most women, she probably wanted a nice place to have that baby. You know, my daughter-in-law, where was her grandson? What was her name? Penrose? Has anybody seen the hospital rooms lately? They're like the Broadmoor, some of them, huh? Unbelievable. You know, Mary didn't get that. So, you know, for what she got way back then, not knowing what she was going to sign up for, is pretty amazing when you think about it. Because she signed up for her son to be born in a cave. You know, I know, I'm going to go off on a little history right here. Bust some of your bubbles. I think it was a stable. It was probably really a cave. Because back then, that's what they had. It was like a cave that was tore out of the mountain, and that's where they would put the animals up at night. They didn't really have stables. There's a lot of things there historically that we see that are not exactly the way the Bible says. See, I'm a Bible man, and I just hate, and listen, when I say this, well, let me say it and then I'll tell you. You know, for instance, like it shows three kings showing up with the little baby there, the manger, right? That's not accurate. For one, The Bible never says there was three of them, does it? It says they had three gifts. Secondly, it never said they were kings. It says they were magi, which is like astrologers. Okay. And then secondly, by the time they got there, Jesus was in a house and he called him a child. So you see how inaccurate. So what I meant to, was going to say earlier, don't go to your neighbors and tear down their nativity scene. Okay. Because Don said, hey, that's not right. Yeah, don't do that. But the Bible is accurate. And I don't think that harms anything. But the truth be told, all that's not correct, is it? So, but we do know that Mary and Joseph signed up for quite a storm, didn't they? And guess what? Remember how I said that storms keep coming? And that the aftermath, right after Jesus is born, you know, we don't know how long, but it doesn't tell us exactly how old, but we know that Herod was going to kill every child from 1 to 2 years old. And so an angel told Joseph to go and take the child and Mary to Egypt. And they had to go to Egypt. And just think, she just had a baby. She didn't get to relax probably very much. And she's back traveling. So look what she signed up for. And then think of the rest of her life as she had to watch her son grow through the torture, the pain, as she was there at the cross and saw all that. Think of that. And now you think back to what she said. How many women would have really signed up for that if they knew all that? I know she didn't know neither. But she was so faithful to say yes. She didn't even doubt it for a second, did she? What faith, what trust. I want to talk about a recent storm in my life. That's pretty hard. You know, we all have storms. And, you know, in the last 2 years since I preached this message, I've had many. From my dad having a stroke and have to put him in a nursing home, and then he passed away, and going through all the financial stuff. And I know some of you have been through that. That kind of stuff is not fun. I fell and hurt my shoulder and back really bad. I almost killed myself. I fell out of the bathtub. And I went through a time that I didn't know if I could work, and I had to work. And I was short help. And so I've been through several storms, but nothing quite like this. So recently, my son called me. He's my youngest, Chad. And he called me, and I knew I'm probably going to get emotional. I don't care. I'm just going to lay it out there. People that know me know I'm a pretty transparent guy. And he called me bawling from the depth of his soul, telling me that his wife had an affair on him. And that with her supervisor, she was 30, with her 47-year-old supervisor. And it crushed my son. It literally crushed him to his being. And I can tell you, I've been through a lot of storms in my life. But it's a little different when it's your kids, isn't it? It takes it up to a whole nother level, doesn't it? And I could tell you, if we got grades on storms, I might have got an A on a bunch of them. But this one, I think I got an F. Because at first, I'm not going to lie, I told you, I'm going to be transparent. I was like, off with her head. You know, how could she do that? And there was no mercy. There was no grace. There was, how could this be? And I wasn't very nice. I might have said a bad word or two. And so it didn't go well. And I remember the first time he came down, I don't know, maybe a week, 3 days, I don't remember, because it's been like a whirlwind. I was tough on him because I'm a tough man. Life has kind of made me tough. Some of you that know me know that. The army, the way I am, I'm tough. And see, I expect other people to be tough. And I guess that's that athlete in me, all the sports I was. And that was not the right approach. Because you see, my son had hurt his back really bad. And he was waiting on surgery. And I mean really bad. He was literally walking with a cane when this happened. And he was on heavy drugs. And you could just talk to him and he would start crying. Or he would get mad. And the first time a face-to-face encounter, I said some things that I shouldn't have said. And he just walked out. Said, I don't need to hear this. And he took off. And it was my sweet, sweet wife who, I have to say, wasn't so sweet during this. There was a side of Marty come out that I didn't know existed. You know, when you hurt the kids, man, that's a whole nother thing. And so my sweet, sweet Marty, she's had a hard time with this. And what have I learned through all this is that everybody's different. You can't expect people to handle things the way you do. And that's what I did to my son. And it was my son that inspired this sermon tonight when he said to me, he wanted to take her back and forgive her. And I'm like, how can you? Are you stupid? I said that. And he said, but Dad, you're the one that taught me about forgiveness. How can I not forgive the woman I love and still love? And I'm like, oh. Some of you other pastors know there's nothing worse than your kids as you're a preacher throw your sermon back at you, huh? And I was convicted to the core of my being of that, how could I? I got to forgive her now. If he can forgive her, how can I not forgive her? But I'm not saying that was easy. And I'm the kind of guy that can get over things pretty easily. And I did. But my wife, that's another story. She still ain't over it. And that's what I learned is that we're all different. And you can't expect someone to be like you. Because we all grieve. We all suffer. We all go through our storms in a different way. And there's no right or wrong way. Well, there could be a wrong way. But we can't expect people to do it exactly like we did. You know, some of you know that I've been through a divorce 30 some years ago. And I can tell you, it wasn't hard for me to get over. I was a Christian. She didn't want to be married to me because of my faith. She said, you trust God for everything? I remember those words. And I'm like, yeah, and you don't? And there's the door. And I was over it. But that didn't work for my son. He still loved her. And I don't know if I didn't love her. I don't know. I mean, I question everything now after this because it's like, this ripped my whole thinking apart. How my son could forgive her. And so it's been tough to the family. It's not over. The storm is not over. She has not want to come back. And that's been really, really hard for him. And so he's moving on with his life. And but he still, I know this, and that's what Mama has a hard time with. He would take her back in a second. And you know what he said to me just last night? I called him and told him I was going to be preaching about him. And I said, I might get emotional, so I don't know if you want to listen to that. But you know what he said to me? You know, Dad, I just decided I got to get on with my life. I choose not to hate. I can't wake up every morning hating. And I can't go to bed hating. And so I only can choose to love and forgive. And I'm like, wow, maybe you should be the preacher and I should quit. Because, yeah, man, that's deep, isn't it? Wow. And so that rocked my world, you know. And so I move on. I don't want to talk about me all night, but there was so much to learn in that. I had to learn to trust God that, you know what, God, whatever your will is, I don't know if they're going to get back together. I don't know. Deep down inside of me, I probably, being honest, I don't want them to. I'm going to lie. But if God chooses for them to get back, then I got to deal with it. And I'm there. And like I said, I don't know if Mama's there yet, but she'll get there. She'll get there, maybe in time. So pray for her. So the aftermath of the storm. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Like, I'm telling, like, my storm right now, that's far from over. Far from over. My son is going to go to... He's a golfer. Some of you that know him is a golfer. Professional golfer. And you know he needs his back, so he had his back surgery. So he decided that he's going to go to Hawaii and spend about 5 months there getting his golfing career back and just trying to get through this, see what happens. And so you could pray for him. But it's, like I said, it's far from over. The aftermath of the storm, you know, can be so hard on us because we just don't know what we're getting into sometimes. You know, my daughter just recently told me a story that happened at her, where she works. She works for an oral surgeon. And the surgeon brought her in to, he wanted her to see these x-rays of this young man. So there was this young man that had a storm so bad in his life, he decided to kill himself. See, there's a lot of people that do that because they can't handle their storm. And I would say a majority of those are people that are non-believers because they have no hope. They have no God to take them through their storm or be with them in their storm, don't they? And so a lot of them do that. Well, this young kid, just 18 years old, took a gun and put it right here. And he lived. He blew the whole side of his face off. My daughter said she'd never seen anything like it. His eyes were over here. His mouth, it was way hanging out. Can you imagine it? And my point is, he thought his storm was so bad. Now look at the aftermath of what he put his parents through and what he has to go through now. He is still alive to this day, but they don't still know if he's going to make it because he literally blew his face off one side. And so, isn't that crazy? But I couldn't think of a better illustration of the aftermath of a storm of, wow, the rest of his life, if he lives, wow. Huh? You think you had a storm, huh? Wow. So my 3 points as I get ready to close. I don't preach too long. I'm blunt to the point. Get it? I want you to know that you got to trust God in your storm. He wants you to learn that, to trust Him. He wants you and to learn this. Is to listen to Him. Because He speaks sometimes in them storms. But we're too busy. We're so focused on our storm that we don't hear Him. And so you got to get quiet. You got to spend some time with Him. And I could tell you, if your storm is so bad, you need to hit the floor. That's just an old saying I have. Anybody know what I mean by that? Hit the floor. That means on your knees. There's sitting down prayers, and there's times we need to hit the floor. And sometimes you got to hit the floor. And you got to be quiet so you can hear God. Because God has something to say. Something to teach you. Something to show you. He may use other people to do this. And then, sometimes I said this already, but not to focus on your own storm. Is get involved with other people's storms all around you tonight. There's people that are going through storms. And I got to say this, you know, sometimes Christians can be the most dishonest people in the world. I've worked with some of the foulest men in the army, heathens, and they were more honest than Christians. I'm sorry if I hurt some of your feelings, but this is what I mean. Someone will ask you, how you doing? Oh, I'm all right. And you're not. You're hurting. You're going through a storm. And you're ashamed to tell somebody. Shame on you. Brothers and sisters, tonight, if you get anything out of this, share each other's storms with each other. Pray for one another. Help one another. Don't be thinking you're such a Christian that you can't go. The Bible tells us that we will go through storms. So get that one down, okay? So why should you be afraid? It doesn't make you less of a Christian. You know, I actually believe the stronger you are in your faith, the more you're going to be attacked, because we know that some storms come from the enemy, and I'm not going to get into that for time's sake. But don't be afraid to tell somebody about your storm. And don't be afraid to get involved in someone else's storm. And you will definitely see sometimes that yours is minor compared to theirs. You think you got one, and then you hear someone else's, and you're like, oh my God, how are you getting through this? Well, not with your help. Oh, hey, I got to laugh. So, isn't it terrible? Would you guys agree with that one? That as Christians, we like to fake it. I call that's another sermon I have about, we wear masks. We wear masks. We want people to think we're all spiritual and holy and this and that. And sometimes we're phony. You know, you think about some heathens, and I'm sure some of you, who works with heathens? I mean, they're heathens, like real heathens. Few of you only? Oh my gosh. You know something about heathens. They're so honest. They'll just come in. Man, I'm hungover. I tied one on last night. You know, they'll just tell you whatever. And sometimes you don't want to hear it. But they'll tell you. And then they'll tell you why they went out drinking last night. Because their wife left them or whatever. But they're very honest. But Christians like to hide it, sweep it under the carpet, whatever. And we just don't want to be honest with one another. And I think that's a shame. Because we're supposed to love one another. They're supposed to recognize us by our love. And I wonder if they do sometimes. And so if I leave you with that. And the last one. Through all that listening to God and what He teaches you, what He shows you, you have to obey God. You have to obey Him. And sometimes it's tough. I know it had to be tough on Mary and Joseph to obey God through all that. It had to be tough. It had to be really tough for Joseph to take her, knowing that he'd never been with her. Because back then when they had an engagement, you know, they didn't even touch. You know, when they used to see one another, most of the time they had someone in between them. And they couldn't even touch each other. And so now this woman who's he engaged to is pregnant. And he's like, what's up? How hard that would be for a man back then. Nowadays, that's a shame. And so obey God. So all these three points, you can't do none of them. Unless you know God. Not just know about Him. You know, I find it crazy that, you know, I worked with youth for a long time. And I got to do a lot of counseling with parents and things. And it always amazed me how many people out there as Christians would tell me, well, I didn't know I could pray about that. I'm not kidding. We're talking believer now, not non-believers. And they thought that their things, their storms, were too irrelevant to God. God is so busy with the world, He doesn't have time for their stuff. That's crazy. You know, if you're out there tonight and you maybe thought like that, I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. And He wants to take you into storm. He wants to be there with you in the storm, and He wants to take you out of it. But you got to know Him. You got to know Him, because if you don't know Him, He can't do any of that for you, can He? I want to leave you with a little story. Some of you might remember it because it's from part one. But it really hammers down the message about knowing God. Because see, without God, if you don't know Him, wow, you're being tossed and thrown and through and just going through terrible, terrible storm and getting beat around because you don't know Him. So I want to tell you this is a true story. There was this woman, an elderly woman. She was on an airplane And she sat down, put her seatbelt on. She took the window seat. And then a little boy came and sat down by her. And they were right up towards the front. And, you know, there was a seat in between them. And so they take off. And no sooner than they take off, and it was time to ding, 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 the little bells go on, whatever, you know, the chime to unbutton your seatbelt. This little boy whips out a little car. And he puts his little table down, and he's zoom, 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 zoom. And this lady's getting annoyed, like probably you are, some of you. So. And he just keeps doing it. Zoom, 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 zoom. Pretty soon they run into a storm. Gets a little rocky. Seatbelt light comes on. Little boy, zoom, 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 zoom. The lady is really getting mad now. Pretty soon, the stewardess, the pilot comes on and tells the stewardess they need to sit down and put their seatbelt on. Now, if you've ever been on an airplane in a storm, anybody? And they tell the stewardess to sit down and put their seatbelt on, you get a little concerned, don't you? Yeah? This little boy, zoom, 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 zoom. The lady looks over there. I mean, she gave him so many dirty looks. If looks could kill, he'd be dead. He just keeps going. Pretty soon, the oxygen mask comes down. She puts it on. Little boy didn't even put it on. Zoom, 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 zoom. She can't stand any longer. She says, little boy, what is wrong with you? Don't you see we're in a storm? Zoom, 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 zoom. Why won't you put your oxygen mask on? Don't you care about this storm? No. Zoom, 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 zoom. She says, why? My daddy's the pilot. So that's funny. And it is. I love that story. I love telling that story. Anybody remember that story? One person. The rest of you slept through a couple people. I love that story because there's so much truth in that story. And it comes to the point that I made at the end, is that you got to know God. See, he didn't care about that storm because the pilot was his dad. And see, when you know the pilot, when you know God, that storm becomes a lot, lot easier. But if you don't, wow, you're in for a rough ride. You might have to put the oxygen mask on. So tonight, we're going to close. You guys want to come up? Pastor Tony, if you want to come down. Pastor Randy, Nancy. You guys, here's what I want you to get tonight. Don't leave here tonight if you need prayer. There's many of you out there that need prayer. You're going through a storm. You know you are. You've been through one. You're going through one. One's coming. Come down here. We're all going to be down here. I would pray to God, and I'm going to close this in prayer, but then we're going to be down here, that you wouldn't leave here tonight and not come and be prayed for. And maybe you feel uncomfortable coming down here. You know what? Find someone else in the church then that you feel comfortable. But don't walk out them doors and thinking you're all that. And I don't need no prayer. This storm is just a little one. You don't know what's coming. And so I just pray. Let's pray. Father God, I praise you. I thank you for your word, which is truth. You are the truth, the way, and the lie. There is no other way but you, Lord. Lord God, I pray for those that don't know you. They may know a lot about you, but maybe they're one of those people that didn't even know that you would go through a storm with them. They know you died for them. They know all that stuff. They know the Christmas story, but you would really go through a storm with them? And you told us you would. You actually said you'd never leave us. That you're always there. You'd never abandon us. Even though when family could leave us, loved ones, wives, brothers, sisters, whatever, you said you'd never leave us, that you're always there. And so, Lord God, I pray tonight for your people that they might call upon your name. If they're going through a storm, they need help. I pray that they would humble themselves, they need prayer, they want someone to pray for them, they would come and just let one of us pray for them. I thank you, Lord God. I pray that your people would learn something from your word tonight, to trust you, that you're always there and you love them and you never give up on them, even in their storm. Amen.